Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage on which the message is based tonight is the gospel lesson that you heard read before from the 11th chapter of Matthew, where we hear John's question through his disciples and Jesus' response. Never have I entered on Advent so vitally and intensely alert as I am now. When I pace my cell up and down, three paces one way and then the other, an unknown fate in front of me, then the tidings of the Lord's coming to redeem the world and deliver it have a quite different and much more vivid meaning. Those words come from the Advent Meditations of Father Alfred Delp, written from prison during what would turn out to be his last Advent season on earth, 1944. He was executed the following February. His crime was simply trying to envision a new social order, a Christian social order for his country once the grip of the Nazis had been broken. Father Delp's Advent meditation continues. My mind keeps going back to the angel figurine someone gave me a couple Advents ago. It bore an inscription, "Be of good cheer, the Lord is near." A bomb destroyed it. That same bomb killed the giver of the gift. Can you possibly imagine how different, how urgent the news of the Lord's coming must have sounded to Father Delp? For many of us here tonight, I suspect the problem isn't how different Advent sounds this year. Our problem is most likely that Advent present sounds just like Advent past. Advent's scripture lessons are almost as familiar to you as the familial carols of the season. The Baptist's cry and the prophet's foretelling are like ornaments that we unwrap and display and enjoy, then carefully pack away so that they're ready to go next year. Advent's attitudes of longing and patience and hope, these we slide into again like an old Santa suit that may not fit as well as it used to, but no worries, we won't have to wear it for long. Then again, this Advent you may identify with Father Delp a little too much. Your circumstances have gotten you on high alert. The way life is for you, you're on tiptoes, waiting for God to intervene. You may strongly identify with that imprisoned priest, which means you may also identify with John the Baptist. Think about John's situation. He was the voice calling in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. He was the new school Elijah, confronting hypocrisy and calling everyone to repentance. And he was the baptizer who brought Jesus himself up out of the water to the acclaim of God the Father with the Holy Spirit hovering around. And this mighty ministry landed him where? In prison. The author of this gospel does not tell us how John felt about this turn of events. He does tell us that John sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Can you sense the disappointment in that question? Are you right there with John the Baptist and Father Delp this Advent, filled with hard questions, waiting for some kind of sign? If so, then look at what Jesus does. But actually, first, look at what he does not do. Jesus does not change John's circumstances. He doesn't march down to the prison and use his power to fling the gates wide open and stage a miraculous rescue. Instead, he gives John a message. He gives you a message, too. Whether your Advent is same old, or filled with intensity. And the message is this: go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended because of me. What is that? Did John even get an answer to his question? Well, yes, he did. And the answer is definitive. In Jesus' answer, all of the things that he names, blind receiving sight, lame walking, and so forth, are things that had been specifically mentioned by the prophet Isaiah some 600 years beforehand. Now, by our modern method of chapter and verse, Jesus references in this one statement that we heard, Isaiah 26, verse 19, 29, verse 18, 35, verses 5 and 6, 42, verse 18, and 61, verses 1 and 2. And these are all events that Isaiah says will take place when God's servant finally shows up. They were happening wherever Jesus went. Jesus puts the dots out there for John to connect. And he is saying, I am the one Isaiah was talking about. And by doing it this way, Jesus teaches you and me something extremely important. It's crucial to our life with God. It's the very thing that can shake up a sleepy, same as it ever was, Advent. It's the lifeline that's thrown out to Father Delps and John the Baptists everywhere. Jesus teaches us to think biblically. What do I mean by that? Well, look at what he does. Jesus sends John back to the prophet Isaiah. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead raised, poor hear the gospel. Jesus says, it's all there in the prophetic word if you're willing to look. The answers are there. You may like them, you may not. The answers that are given in Scripture may in fact offend you. And Jesus said, you're blessed if that doesn't happen. So, step one to thinking biblically is to examine Holy Scripture. Now, that may be the most ridiculously obvious thing I've ever said in a sermon. But it's absolutely 100% necessary to say. There's no substitute for searching the Scriptures. We all, each one of us, we come to the Bible with opinions, assumptions. Followers of Jesus are constantly challenged to weigh our opinions and assumptions against what God has said very clearly. And this is not a project that you finish in a day or a weekend. It requires ongoing persistence and openness. But most of all, it requires that you actually do it. That you take the time that is necessary to dig in and find out what God actually says in His Word. What promises does God really make to us? What is the kingdom that Jesus keeps on talking about? How should you treat the people in your life? Why is there suffering? The Bible speaks to each of these issues and so many more. The question is, are you looking there? Some would say, I can't afford to spend any time on that right now with all that I've got going on. But the truth is, you can't afford not to. Step one is examine Holy Scripture. Step two of thinking biblically is to compare what Holy Scripture says to your experience. Now remember, the first thing Jesus says to John's disciples is, go tell John what you hear and see. Did you catch that? What you hear and see. He's asking them to draw their own conclusions based on that list of Isaiah's prophecies and what Jesus is doing. And truth be told, Jesus is making a daring invitation here. He says to John, here's what the prophet said about God's servant, the Messiah. Look at what I'm doing. What's your conclusion? What do you hear and see? What makes that daring? It's a risk. Jesus doesn't force anyone to follow him. There's no coercion. There's freedom here that's a little scary because we can say no. We can turn away from what he offers us. It's a daring invitation, and he's making it to you. Jesus sends you to search the Scriptures and then invites you to compare it with your experience. What does the Bible say to you about suffering? What does it say to you about hardships, guilt, and grace? What does the Bible say to you about despair and hope, about faith and love? What does it say to you about Jesus' cross and death and burial, about his resurrection and his ascension? What do you hear and see? How does the truth of Scripture square with your experience? Have you ever had to wait for a really long time for the answer to your prayer? Do you know what it feels like to be forgiven of something really awful? Have you ever seen someone with faith in Jesus face death with incredible peace? Have you ever known the joy of serving someone who can't do a single thing to repay you? Ever taken your hands off the wheel of your life and let God navigate? When you compare your experience with God's Word, a bunch of stuff starts to happen. You begin to understand the depth of the problem of sin, which makes the gift of mercy and forgiveness more sweet all the time. You'll see the wisdom of God's Word, how it describes human nature so accurately, how it gets our desperate need for God so right. And maybe most of all, you begin to accept the price that you must pay for being a disciple of Jesus because you have been presented with the overwhelming and clear picture of the price that Jesus paid to have you. John the Baptist sat in prison, uncertain future ahead of him. Father Alfred Delp sat in prison with an uncertain future ahead of him. There is an uncertain future ahead of you and me. According to Jesus, what ought we do? Step one, examine Holy Scripture. Step two, compare it to your experience. And you'll find that God rarely does things the way we think He ought to. And in faith, you can learn to trust that His decisions are always right. This can change the direction of your Advent and Christmas. This can give you what you need to stand strong in your current circumstances. If you follow these steps over the course of your lifetime, I promise you that you will be shocked, stunned, disturbed, relieved, empowered, and changed. And on that note, I give Father Delp the final word. Let us pray for receptive and willing hearts, that the warnings God sends us may penetrate our minds and help us to overcome the wilderness of this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, John sat in prison and brought a question to Jesus. And Jesus answered him by sending him into Holy Scripture. He didn't change John's circumstances, but He sent him back to your powerful Word to see what was really going on. Lord, we need that change of direction as well. It is so easy and natural for us to be swayed and rocked by our circumstances, that we ignore the promises that You've made. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, drive us into Your Word so that we can see that which is most true, that You have declared us not guilty of all sin, that by Your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have become Your dear children in holy baptism, and that in faith we can walk with You, not knowing where we go, but only that You are with us. And that's enough. Amen.